Sing hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Amen. Every word of worship and everything we do is in one accord. Amen. I feel the power of his presence and his unity here today. Thank you, Jesus. When there's unity, oh, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren and sistren dwell together. For it's there that the anointing and the presence and the blessings of life flow when we're in unity. Amen? We see that in the book of Acts. And we're going to be going back to the book of Acts. We're still looking at Pentecost. We're actually going to try to just cruise through chapters 3 through 5 today. We declare Word of Victory Church to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church in the center of God's will. Well, we get to see exactly what that looks like in the book of Acts, right? No better place to get an example of that and a demonstration of that than in the book of Acts. You'll see many times where they were filled with the Spirit. Peter was filled with the Spirit and everything that he did. The only way that we can be effective for the kingdom of God and do what Jesus has called us to do and have a ministry like Jesus is if we are filled with the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus, we've been praying and believing, and we're all hungering more and more for that fresh filling every day of the Holy Spirit. And we know, Jesus, you're the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You're the one who pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. And when it says in Titus that you poured out the Spirit of God, it says you did it not just a little bit, not just a trickle, but you poured out the Spirit of God on us abundantly, it says in the book of Titus. So we receive that abundant filling today, Lord, and we want to just be exactly our heart's desire and hunger is to be exactly like the book of Acts. Follow the pattern, follow the blueprint, follow the plan that you've laid out for us in your word, Lord. So we thank you for that. Just Holy Spirit, as we read through and see all the incredible things that you did through the apostles as they walked in faith and obedience to you, trusting you, help us to just catch that fire so that we can do it with each other in here. And when we leave this place, we can go out and change the world and see lives and souls and even communities and nations transformed by the power of God, the power of the gospel. Amen? Amen. So as we talked about last week in Acts chapter 2, we know that the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the fulfillment of the promise of our Father from heaven, who promised when he spoke through the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." And then I skip to the end. It says, "Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As I said, we know that Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, gives us power from on high, so we can be his witnesses to set our tongues on fire, so we can communicate the gospel using the words that he told us to use, so we could spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the entire world. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 real quick. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, just like we are here today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit," filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, "filled with the Holy Spirit." "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then all the way down to verse 33. "Therefore, This is talking about Jesus, who poured out the Holy Spirit, who's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has poured out this which you now see and hear. The Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. We know that there are many, many functions and operations of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself told us that the Holy Spirit would be our comforter, the one to come alongside us and comfort us. He would lead us. He would guide us. He would be the one to lead us and guide us and teach us all truth and help us remember what? The words that Jesus spoke to us, right? But when we're looking at Acts chapter 2, in the context of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, in the context of Luke 24 verses 44, when Jesus said they would receive power from on high, he used one certain reason. Not all the other ones of functions that we know, that we were so blessed to have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, functions of the Holy Spirit with us. But Jesus specifically wanted them to know that they would receive power from on high, which we talked about last week, to do what? To be his witnesses. And how do you witness? You testify. How do you testify? You have to open your mouth and speak. It's all about speaking. Hence, the tongues of fire. The symbolism of the tongues of fire meant that he wanted to set their tongues on fire to tell everybody about him, about Jesus. So that's what the context that we're looking at in it today. And it's always, it's interesting that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind us, help us remember the words of Jesus too. Just hold that in your thoughts there. Tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the good news. Fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of others. We're set on fire to set others on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. God chose to advance his kingdom not by power nor by might or the sword or gun or tank or weapons, carnal weapons, but how? By his Holy Spirit speaking through each one of us. The first effect of the outpouring of the Spirit of God on the disciples was to prompt them to speak. So, if we only have a little of the Holy Spirit, we're probably not going to be speaking too much. We'll be silent. But if we are filled with the Spirit, and we're a Spirit-filled church, nothing in this world can keep us from speaking and testifying and witnessing about our awesome Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, again, I just really believe the Holy Spirit is just telling me to stay on this topic, this subject of receiving power from on high to speak the gospel, to share the gospel. He'll use you and pour out his grace on you and allow you to use all his other gifts. But remember, when Jesus taught that they would receive power from on high, he only told them one reason. He didn't go into all the other reasons and functions of the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to receive power from on high to be my witnesses, to speak for me. Why are Jesus' words so important? I just want to look at some really important verses that tell us what Jesus himself had to say about his words. Why we can't change the message when we're witnessing and sharing. We have to use the same message that they use in the book of Acts. We have to stay with the same message. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 8:38, and this one's really harsh. Mark 8:38. I'd always heard, for whoever's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed. But that's not what it says. Listen to what he adds there. This is what it really says. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. I never even saw that before. He who is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Pretty important to make sure we use his words, remember his words, and use his words, not be ashamed and try to change his words because, oh, we think Jesus' words were just a little too tough for people. You can't do that. It loses its anointing and power. John 6, 63, this is a great one. Great reason to always use his words that he told us to use when we're trying to bring people into the kingdom of God. John 6, 63, this is one of Pastor Harvey's favorite verses. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen? Let's keep going. And Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 8. John 17, verse 8. He's praying to the Father. We know this is his high priestly prayer. This is what he says. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. Those are pretty important words, I would say, wouldn't you? The words that he's given us to speak come directly from Father God. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you and that they have believed that you sent me. And then, of course, we know Jesus says in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So in Acts chapter 2, we looked at last week, Peter preached the words that Jesus told them to preach. And really, it's a very simple message. He wanted it to be very simple for us to be able to share, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and for other people to receive. Peter preached the message, the words that the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 were saved. What did Jesus tell them to testify? He told them to testify about his death, burial, resurrection from the dead, and to preach repentance and remissions of sins in his name. So now let's take a look at chapters 3, 4, and 5 and see what the message was that Peter and the apostles preached. Chapter 3 is an awesome chapter. We know it's about the lame man who was at the gate beautiful there. For 40 years he was there begging. Peter walks up to him. He asked for some money. Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, I give to you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And we know what happened. He did. So start in verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Peter said, "Ah, here's my opportunity. I'm going to share the gospel with them. And this is what he says. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." That's a pretty harsh slam. I mean, he's standing right in the temple with all the high priests and all those who were crying out and told the people to cry out for Jesus to be crucified. And instead of giving them Jesus, they asked for Barabbas to be set free. Pilate was ready to let him go, but Peter's making sure they know what they did to him. "But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life." One version says the Author of Life. That was another thing that just kind of smacked me in the face. How do you kill the Author of Life, the Prince of Life? whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So again, he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection, and then look at what he preaches. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Then drop down to verse 26. To you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you away from your iniquities. Chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and what? And preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So all of a sudden, 2,000 more are added to the church. Now we've got 5,000 people in the church already because he's preaching the word of God. He's preaching what Jesus told them to preach through the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, when you preach the written word of God, and when we preach the words that God gives us to preach, the written word is logos. But when we preach the word of God that he tells us to preach through the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, logos becomes what? Rhema. That's where the power of God comes in to transform people's lives. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Look who's there. Caiaphas. Remember Caiaphas? Played a pretty major part in the role of the crucifixion of Jesus, right? He's there, and Peter, the guy who was hiding before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, was full of fear and hiding. The guy who denied Jesus is now standing right in front of the high priest in the temple, the one who talked everybody in and made the final decision to have Jesus crucified. Peter has to stand there and testify to him. He would have never been able to do that unless he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And look what he says to them. He doesn't water it down any. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. That's a pretty bold statement, right? In front of all of those leaders in the temple. Makes me wonder, sometimes maybe we need to go into some of these churches where they don't really preach being born again and filled with the Spirit. Maybe we need to stand up like Peter and do that. I mean, that's, Peter was in basically in their church. That's their church setting with all these people, all these leaders, religious leaders who know nothing about the Holy Spirit of Jesus and being filled with God, the Spirit of God, and being born again and forgiveness of sins. Anyhow, if the Lord tells you to do that, go ahead and do it. You have my blessing. Yeah, we'll bail you out. Ha ha ha. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And we are living stones now joined together with him. Amen. And listen to what he says, exactly what Jesus told them to preach in his name. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then this is always great too. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Again, so important to recognize. You don't have to be an expert theologian. You don't have to go to seminary for 10 years. I'm not knocking education. Those are good things. Paul was the opposite. Paul was extremely educated and filled with the Spirit. But God uses both. God can use anybody who is willing to do what he tells them to do, that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And believe me, when you start speaking the words of God and it affects them and has that power, they're going to say, wow, these guys, what's the deal with them? Well, they're going to know just like they did with them. They realized that they had been with Jesus. They'll know that you've been spending time with Jesus. They'll know that you've been in the Word and prayer and fellowship, in praise and worship, spending time seeking the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what are we going to do with these guys? So they're trying to figure out what to do. For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen, this was really the other just main point that the Holy Spirit wanted me to share. They were okay with the miracles. They were okay with the healings. They weren't going to deny that. Let you guys, you know, do all the healings, do all the miracles you want. But don't you dare preach and speak in the name of Jesus. Don't you dare do exactly what Jesus told you to do. So the devil will always, it's always been, it was his first tactic and first plan, and it's always going to be his same plan always throughout all of the ages, to shut our mouths so that we don't testify and witness and speak up about Jesus, what Jesus told us to speak about him. Always. Because you know why? He knows if he can shut us up, that the church isn't going to what? It isn't going to grow. Excuse me. It may grow, but it's not going to grow for the right reasons. People aren't coming to church because they know what Jesus did for them through forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. They're coming religiously, or they're coming to seek the signs and the wonders. Right? What'd Jesus say? An adulterous and crooked generation seeks for signs and wonders. We know the power of them. We know they're good. And we know that Peter just used one as a perfect opportunity to share the gospel. But you can't disconnect the two. You can't just try to draw people in through signs and wonders and never preach the gospel to them. That's a big no-no. They all too always have to work together, always together. Let's go to chapter 5. I was going to skip some of the first verses, but I'm going to read it because it gives us such a great picture of a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church. chapter 5. The first part's a little tough. We'll skip through that. Ananias and Sapphira. Just never lie. Never lie. That's all I can say about that. Especially about your giving and what you're doing for the Lord. Haven't heard of many people dying recently in the church because they do that, but there's an example here. The Lord doesn't really like that, okay? So we all know that. So let's go down to verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. As a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 17, let's see what happens again. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and do what? Speak. It's all about speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They responded immediately. But I guess if a big old angel stood right next to you and told you to do it, you'd probably do it too. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with the elders of the children of Israel, sent to the prison to have them brought. But guess what? Surprise! They're not there. Isn't that amazing? That's by far one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. The angel had let them go, and they're already back in the temple preaching the words of life. So go down to verse 27. So they send the temple guards to go get them, but they tell them, hey, don't make a big scene. Go in there and get them peacefully, because they knew the people were listening. The people were starting to really love what they were hearing. Verse 27. So they go get them, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Again, same tactic. They're trying to shut them up from preaching the gospel. And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. That's what we need to do. We need to fill our homes, our workplaces, our communities, and this nation with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And you intend to bring this man's blood on us. They remembered it. Let me tell you, when Peter preached that message to them back there in chapter 4, they remembered exactly what it said. You're trying to bring Jesus' blood on us? Well, it was on them. But Peter and all the other apostles answered and said, listen, it's not just Peter now. We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. He tells them again. He's not backing down. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So he's sticking to the message, the death, burial, resurrection, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Big problem with the modern church and modern gospel, and it's probably one of the reasons why the church would be so weak right now, is they don't preach repentance of sin. You have to forsake your sins and put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Turn away from your sins. That's why he went to the cross, not only to set us free from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin in our life. We were praying something about transgender people this morning, and I'll just share this with you why I say this. You think it's not real? I was watching a Ray Comfort video. I think it's called the video he called Noah, and that's what he's talking about, because Noah was a preacher of repentance. And so he's going around asking all these people if they're Christians in California. So one of the people that he walks up to is a man with a wig on, dressed in a skirt, transgender. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you born again and filled with the Spirit? Yes. So this man, someone had told him that he could be born again and filled with God's Spirit. He could receive forgiveness of sins, but did not bother to address repentance. That he had to turn from that. So there's a lot of that out there, and there's a lot of the people that he goes up and talks to. You know, do you still watch pornography? Yes, yes. Do you still do all this? Do you still do this? Do you still smoke? Do you still steal? Do you cheat on this? Yes, yes. But you're a Christian. Yes, yes, they say. So, again, that's a result of not preaching, of being ashamed of the words that Jesus said to preach and not preaching his full message. So important. Where was I? We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are all witnesses to these things. And so is who? This is awesome. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who what? Obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Verses 40 through 42. Someone comes in and starts telling all the high priest why they should not mess with these guys. Remember, because I don't know if it was Gamaliel but one of the teachers. And he ends up saying, look, if it's just men, don't worry about it. But if these men are truly men of God, you're not just fighting against men, you're fighting against God, he tells them. So verse 40, it says, they all agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that, what are they going to try to do again? Same old tactics, same old thing again. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Hallelujah. Again. So, that's a great picture of what a true Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church that's in the center of God's will looks like. They're filled with the Spirit. They're preaching the words that Jesus told them to preach. And the Holy Spirit's also using many other numerous gifts through them to help the church grow, to maintain, to sustain the growth, and to maintain the church through the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But again, what does the devil want to do with each of us? Stop our mouths from sharing Christ with others. We've got to let the Holy Spirit work in us and obey. Even if if your heart is racing and pounding and your human reason, your mind's telling you you can't do it, take the step of faith and let the Holy Spirit speak through you. It's the only way the church will grow. It's the only way people will get saved. It's the only way the kingdom of God will expand, is by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with the preaching of the gospel always follows what? Signs and wonders. It's never signs preach signs and wonders, get people to come in, then maybe they'll get saved. It's always the gospel first. It says in the book of Mark, they went about and preached exactly what Jesus told them to preach. And then Jesus confirmed his word with what? Signs and wonders and miracles. But if the devil can just get us to get focused on everything except for speaking the gospel and sharing the gospel, then he's kind of getting the upper hand on us. He'll always use that tactic to try to shut us up, stop us from witnessing about Jesus, to prevent souls from being saved, and to try to stop the kingdom of God from growing. But we know, praise God, that that'll never happen, because what did Jesus say? The gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. But he's still, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Cry out to me every day. What did they do in Acts chapter 4 the first time that they were told to shut up and not speak in Jesus' name? They prayed a prayer. So I'm just gonna pray that as we close and the worship team comes. Listen to me. When they prayed the prayer, it's good to pray for to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. But one thing I noticed is that's not what they prayed. They didn't pray, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit again. You know what he prayed? Jesus, give us boldness to speak the word of God. Give us boldness to speak the gospel. And do signs and wonders through your son, Jesus Christ, as we speak the gospel. And what does it say happened? This is the second time. I just believe Jesus heard that prayer and he loved it so much. He said, Father, let's hit them again with another shot. It says they got filled with the Holy Spirit again because they were serious about sharing Jesus' message with the world. Isn't that awesome? And what does it say happened? They went and spoke the word of God with great boldness, and the apostles did many signs and wonders as they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that what we want for this church? Amen. Amen. We're all in one accord. Thank you, Father. Fill us, Lord, with great boldness. We want to start speaking the gospel. We want to share your message. We want to share you, Jesus, with everybody around us. Help us, train us, and equip us to share the biblical gospel effectively. Give us the tools we need and fill us afresh again with the Holy Spirit. Shake this church, shake this place. It says the place where they were at was shaken, and God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And everywhere they went, they spoke the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with great boldness. I'm crying out for that today, Lord. We're crying out for that particularly. But also, Holy Spirit, as we get into worship now, move among your people. There are many here that probably have certain needs that you want to touch and you want to minister to. So not only fill us with boldness and prepare us when we leave here to preach the gospel, but touch and minister. Do signs and wonders and miracles, just like you did in the book of Acts. We want everybody that comes through these doors to have the same experience that they experienced in the book of Acts. That all those that come here, that we bring here, that they all get healed in Jesus' name. Amen.